Often when we seek an example of unalloyed courage, the man who comes to mind is Winston Churchill, the visionary leader immune from the consensus of the day, who stood firmly for his beliefs when everyone doubted him. But how did young Winston become Churchill? What gave him the strength to take on the superior force of Nazi Germany when bombs rained on London and so many others had caved? In the new book, Churchill, Walking with Destiny, historian Andrew Roberts looks at what made Churchill ultimately successful and assess how he learned from his mistakes and harnessed the experiences of his life to serve his country. Again, Andrew Roberts' new book is Churchill, Walking with Destiny, and it's a pleasure to welcome Andrew Roberts to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much indeed, Jay.
Wonderful to have you on the show. So talk to us about what brought you to this particular facet of Churchill and in wanting to go deeper into what made Churchill the Churchill that we know.
Yes, I've already written five books with Churchill in the title or the subtitle. And so I thought that I was ready, really, to undertake a full-scale, cradle-to-the-grave, comprehensive life of him. And I was also very conscious of the fact that in the last 10 years, some astonishing new sources have been made available about Churchill, and I wanted to be able to take advantage of those really before any other Churchill biographer did.
Do you believe that there is some misunderstanding about Churchill and the histories that we have?
Yes, I think that quite a few of the more modern biographies have taken a rather aggressive, knocking tone towards Churchill and have failed to appreciate quite the level of the greatness of the man and have brought up a number of, especially actually on the internet, conspiracy theories and various accusations and myths that I think a proper big book needed to be written in order to clear out. And so I've gone back to the original sources and to all the proper historical documents to look and see whether or not any of these new myths have got any grounding in basis and reality and evidence. And in 99 cases out of 100, they haven't.
You talked about some of the new material that you were able to have access to, including King George VI's wartime diaries. What information did that give you, and what picture does that paint about Churchill and his actions during that time?
Yes, I was very fortunate that the Queen allowed me to be the first Churchill biographer to be able to read her father's diaries. And King George VI met Churchill every Tuesday of the Second World War. And they had lunch together. And the king trusted the king, Churchill trusted the king with all of the important secrets of the Second World War, the nuclear secret, the ultra secret, where they were going to attack and when, which ministers and generals were going to be hired and fired. And luckily, Churchill not only trusted him, but the king wrote everything down that Churchill said. So we have this, this great new source where every Tuesday of the war we can look into Churchill and see his hopes and fears and aphorisms and jokes, and it helps us enormously to see what an extraordinarily passionate man he was. He was a far more sort of emotional politician than almost any of his contemporaries at the time. He burst into tears no fewer than 50 times during the Second World War, for example, which must have been quite off-putting for people around him, but they did understand that he was a highly emotional man.
But obviously, certainly understandable given the enormity of what he was dealing with. I was struck by your writing about his relationship with our president, Franklin Roosevelt. Give us a sense of that relationship and how you would characterize it.
Well, it was a friendship. It was genuine in that sense. He admired Roosevelt. He came very much from the same kind of political and indeed social background. They were both aristocrats of their own country. He was on the left of the Conservative Party, Winston Churchill, and he admired Roosevelt as a man, not least, of course, the way that he managed to overcome his profound disability. And so they got on well personally. Towards the end of the war, when political issues and strategic issues as well impinged on their friendship, there turned out to have been 372 more letters from Winston Churchill than there are replies to Franklin Roosevelt, which implies that the relationship broke down to an extent in the fall of 1944 onwards. But nonetheless, they were able to work together closely until the end of Franklin Roosevelt's life in April 1945.
When you think of Churchill in such, as you said, this cradle to grave sense, how much of a transformation do you see? The subtitle of the book is "Walking with Destiny." How much do you see of a true transformation of a man into a leader?
Yes. Well, of course, he was in politics for 40 years, so he was constantly evolving and transforming himself. He was somebody who was very open to the evolution of political thought, and he was a man who was extremely good at learning from his mistakes. He had made terrible mistakes, series of terrible mistakes through his life. As he told his wife, Clementine, "I would have made nothing if I had not made mistakes." And this is true. And he was a genius, but he was a flawed genius, and he did make mistakes. But as I say, through the course of his life, he did learn from them, and that, of course, is something that one hopes for in a great statesman.
What do you classify as some of his biggest mistakes?
Well, I'd certainly say that he got the suffrage wrong, he got the gold standard wrong, he got the abdication crisis wrong, but primarily I think everyone accepts that it was his decision to try to knock the Ottoman Empire out of the First World War by essentially getting the Royal Navy through the Straits of the Dardanelles and mooring it off Istanbul, and thereby forcing the Turks to leave the Central Powers, which is a brilliant concept, but nonetheless it was in its implementation utterly disastrous, and it led to the sinking of six Allied ships on one day, on the 18th of March 1915. And although he himself also learned from that mistake, because in the Second World War he never overruled the chiefs of staff at all in that conflict, nonetheless, throughout the 1920s and even into the 1930s, he had people, hecklers, shouting, "What about the Dardanelles?" at him when he was making his public speeches.
The name of the new book is Churchill, Walking with Destiny. Walking with Destiny. It is published by Viking. Andrew Roberts, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.